See Pastor Lanny? Yeah, that's what it says in the bulletin, Pastor Lanny. He is unexpectedly unavailable, and so I'm covering double duty today. I did the gathering earlier, and I'll do this now. I found out about 4 p.m. yesterday afternoon. So the first 5 minutes is really tailored toward the gathering. So what I did at 9 a.m. service, that's what we call the 9 a.m. service, by the way, the gathering, for those of you who don't know. I reviewed everything with them. For you, I'm just going to give you some insight because, you know, you go to the legacy service, right? This is the original. I don't know much about the gathering. So over the next few minutes, what I want to do is just take a little bit of time to kind of give you some perspective on what we're trying to accomplish on that 9 a.m. service that we call the gathering. Most of you know me. I had to double-check my name. My name is Michael Wagner, for those of you who don't. Who's new here today? Anybody? In fact, I got a list. Who are the new folks? Welcome. You. Let's see. Are Terry and Jennifer, is that right, with your two children? And then is James here? James in the back. Hello. Oh, yeah. Hey, I met you earlier. And I also met Tina and Connie. Hello, ladies. What's that? Thank you. I told myself I wasn't going to forget that. The teens are dismissed. Is that right? Is that anyone? Okay. Well, I'm going to do the teens today. So welcome. Stay. I'll be ministering to you today. Okay, teens? Is that all right? Okay. She's staring at me. No. Well, me and my wife Katrina have been given overall responsibility for the gathering, the 9 a.m. service, as I alluded to. We have with us a core of outstanding people, and I am so grateful for them because they step up and assume their place in the kingdom of God. They know what their giftings are. Or even if they don't, they go and they explore and they step up into the kingdom. And I'm very grateful for my core team. Now, the idea behind the gathering has been to establish a place for young adults, young families, and simply those who are young at heart to grow together in the kingdom of God as a genuine community of believers. It's designed to be more than just a place that we meet once a week. Or a place where our lives revolve around all these activities, but instead a place where relationships can be established, a place where we can go and we can run the race together, where we can stumble and someone will be there to pick us up and help us along in love and encouragement and to occasionally give us the kick in the pants that we need. Our objective is to have fresh music, a relevant worship, and a time to minister to your needs. And then when it's all done, we have coffee and donuts afterwards. We're typically done in about an hour and 15 minutes. Now, Lanny said that I shouldn't make this a recruiting effort, and so I won't. But if you want to come, you know, come. My hope is, though, that with the gathering, that's where it starts, the 9 a.m. service. I hope that it will continue and be sustained outside of these four walls by establishing meaningful relationships and by welcoming others into our midst. I said this once before. I said this same thing last year. I don't care what your past is. I don't care what your denomination is or what your denomination was. I don't care about your ethnicity. I don't even care about what your sin is, except to help get you free of that bondage. And by the way, that goes for the gathering or the legacy. I'm speaking to all of you. Our vision can be summed up in our mission statement. One growing and diverse family unified in Christ, seeking intimacy with God. Is that up there? Oh, great, that's up there. Thank you. Marilyn has noted that my voice is deep and throaty and froggy. So let's see if that helps. I'm not used to talking this much. Where are my school teachers? They're there. I don't know how you do it. It's like 8 hours a day doing this, and then you got to do all your lesson plans and tests and all that other stuff. God bless you. You guys have the toughest job, or you do. As I was preparing for this message, I couldn't really remember this mission statement, so I put it up for the gathering folks to review, and now it's for you to see just what it is that we try to what we're trying to build at the gathering. Now, we are not there yet. We really, over the past year, which was our first year, we only started the process of laying a foundation. But this is where we're going. Now, to help build upon this vision, I want to take a look at only one word in this statement. And that word is growing. I am dedicated, again, this is for the gathering or the legacy, I'm dedicated to seeing each one of us grow in the fullness and the grace that God has apportioned to us. To grow into the portion of the body of Christ that God has made us to be. My prayer for you is that you will have the relationship with God that He wants to have with you. And that you will take your rightful place in the kingdom of God by growing into your destiny in the body of Christ. Now, I want to help facilitate that by introducing a new series of sermons that me and Katrina and some others will be undertaking in the coming months. Now, due to the circumstances of life of Katrina and I, we're not able to preach every week, and so this is kind of going to be a spotty thing, but expect Katrina and I, whenever we're preaching, to be dealing primarily with this topic. And by the way, the next time I preach on this topic, I'll also be in the legacy service, so you'll be able to get, if you like this installment, then you'll be able to get the second installment too. Now, to introduce this series, I want to direct your attention to two verses. Now, I tried to get like one verse, you know, for the series, but these two verses were so good, I'm just using both of them. The first one is in Galatians 5:1. And the second one is 2 Corinthians 3:17. And these are going to be the two verses that will be the basis for our research into the topic I'm about to introduce. Galatians 5:1 says this: "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery." 2 Corinthians 3:17 says this: "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." Living in freedom. Successful, victorious living. Living as mature, free believers who are not given in to slavery of the enemy. I want to cover aspects of victory and freedom, and conversely, slavery and bondage over the next few months. Bondage. I like that word in the sense that it communicates so visually to me. To me, it speaks of truly being imprisoned. When I think of the word bondage, I think of my hands being shackled together. I think of my ankles being shackled together so that I can only walk in these kind of these stuttered steps. You know, but that is not by God's design. We are designed to run freely, to run effortlessly in peace and joy. We're designed to live as mature, victorious, free children of God, not slaves who are fearfully toiling in a dark place of misery and despair. And so, in the next few months, we will be covering these issues in detail. And we're going to be providing practical steps that will help you break free and live victoriously. Now, I think that we would all agree that there is no way that you can be a mature believer instantly. That would be like an infant growing and becoming a mature adult instantly. Right? Like just add water and instant mature adult. Right? Just doesn't happen. Maturity is a process. Maturity is something that takes time. Now, some of you would say that a believer can be free instantly. And to that, I would say, I agree. A believer can indeed be free instantly. You can be set free instantly of whatever sin or whatever lie it is that holds you in bondage. I believe you can particularly be set free instantly from overt satanic attacks and demonic possessions. In general, however, the enemy is more cunning. The enemy is more subtle. Our enemy is a discreet and patient and relentless foe. His attacks are more stealth. They're less obvious. His style is more guerrilla warfare than all-out frontal attacks. And as we know from our recent U.S. wars in Vietnam and Iraq, guerrilla warfare is a lot harder to deal with than an all-out frontal assault. When you know who the enemy is and where the enemy is, well, it's a whole lot easier to just drop a bomb on him and be done with it. But when the enemy is disguised to look like an innocent good guy, or if he's discreetly striking at you from some shadowy place, it becomes a process of rooting them out. And so it is with our enemy. But the subtle, recognized attacks of the enemy have a cumulative effect. And before we know it, we are in bondage to our enemy. Many of us were probably in bondage to the enemy even before we became believers. And just like a prisoner of war escaping from his bondage, trying to get away is not generally instantaneous. Planning a good escape from a POW camp requires studious information gathering. It requires careful planning. It requires precise execution. And through it all, it requires relentless determination. And this is what we're going to be doing over the next few months. We can expect to collect information, use that information to plan our escape, and then execute our plan until we're at a place of freedom. The Lord is able to instantly deliver you from your bondage, but do not assume that He will. Assuming or hoping that the Lord will instantly deliver you from your bondage can lead to frustration, to disillusionment. It can lead to disappointment, and worst of all, it can lead to loss of hope. Now, part of the process to maturity includes the process of breaking free. For a butterfly to reach full maturity, it has to first break free from the cocoon in which it's imprisoned. And in doing so, the butterfly is strengthened, allowing it to fly away in accordance with the way it's been designed. In fact, if you try to assist a butterfly by assisting it from the cocoon, it will be too weak to survive and will die. And so it is sort of with us. Generally speaking, it is not the getting there, but it is the journey that is valuable in our spiritual growth. Now, most of the focus of this series will be on living a free and victorious life. Maturity is a natural part of that, but it's not a focus of the series that we're going to undertake per se. Instead, the focus is going to be on breaking the bonds, escaping into freedom, escaping the prison so that we can live freely. Now, some of you at this point may be saying, well, what? Break free of what? So let's take just a few minutes, and I'm going to discuss some of the things I'm talking about when I refer to bondage. This is not an all-inclusive list, but you'll get the sense of what I mean. Okay, in general terms, what we're talking about, whatever fits into these general categories: habitual sins, negative thoughts, irrational feelings, destructive behaviors, overt and covert demonic attacks. Those are the general categories. habitual sins. Examples might include things like pornography, sexual sins, homosexuality, gambling, gluttony, pride, unforgiveness, or maybe an unwillingness to seek forgiveness, drug or alcohol use, or some other chemical dependency, overspending, foul or coarse language. Negative thoughts and irrational feelings might include things like thoughts of lust, entertaining thoughts of hurting yourself or others, any thought in which you're not edified or encouraged, memories of past hurts or memories of your own sins, selfishness, neurotic guilt, self-pity, lack of self-worth, sense of entitlement or disillusionment. Destructive behaviors might include things like marriage or sex to overcome loneliness, adultery, spousal or child abuse. This could be either physical or emotional, and you could either be the victim or the predator in this case. The practice known as cutting, general distribution of personal intimacies, uncontrolled debt, refusal to communicate, uncontrolled anger or rage. Covert demonic attacks could be anything that I just mentioned above. Overt demonic attacks may include something like hearing voices, loss of sleep, confusion, depression, and even some physical infirmities. Okay, so I may not have named yours, your thorn, but whatever thorn it is, we're looking to get it removed. Now, as we go through this series, we're going to review details concerning different truths that are related to living free and breaking the ties that bind us. Things like how our identity changed when we switched allegiances from the government of darkness into the kingdom of God. In this context, we're going to reaffirm again what your identity is in Christ, and confirm again that we are children of God. We're also going to discuss the ways the enemy works. We're going to detail his plans. And we're going to discuss ways in which we can overcome and combat those plans and the awesome weapons that we have at our disposal. We're also going to be discussing issues of truth. We're going to be talking about the power to which we have access. And we're going to be talking about the faith to which we rely. So that's just kind of a quick overview of some of the things that I expect me and Katrina and whoever else is going to be joining in us covering over the next months. As we proceed, I want to refer two books to you written by Neil Anderson. I'm going to take another sip of that tea. Don't mind me. Several years ago, Neil Anderson wrote these two books, Victory Over the Darkness, there it is, and the other one is The Bondage Breaker. Both of these are excellent books. I may be referring to them from time to time as we go through this series. I encourage you to pick up copies of these books and go through them as we're going through this, if you're so inclined. Also, as we proceed, I want you to keep a handful of things in mind. Number one is you can be free. You can be free. Okay, I got one. For the rest of you can be free. Now, as I make this statement, I know that some of you can bear witness to this. Yes, I can be free. But some of you may have disagreed with me in your minds. I can't be free. I've tried too many times. I cannot be free. Or how could I possibly be free after all the terrible things that have happened to me? Or how could I possibly be free after all the terrible things that I have done? Remember, truths and lies, those are lies, right? Those are lies, and in a few minutes we're going to start chipping away at those lies. Okay, number two is you have every right to be free. Matthew 7:11 says this, "If then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him?" As a child of God, you have every right to go to the Father and ask. And our Father, who gives generously and without reproach, will give it to you. Okay, that's in James chapter 1 for any of you taking notes. Okay, number 3. Not only do you have the right to be free, but you have a responsibility to be free. God did not send Jesus on our behalf so that we could hobble around in bondage. We have a purpose. Each one of us has a unique destiny in the kingdom of God. If we do not commit ourselves to living in freedom, then there is a hole in the body of Christ where we are supposed to be. And for that, we will have to make an account. Number 4, we have all the tools to be free at our disposal. As children of God, we have a whole arsenal of weapons just waiting for us. So much so that I have recently pondered a new question to which I have no answer. What creature in their right mind would attack a child of the living God, knowing what we have access to? This brings me to the next point. The enemy has no power over us. The enemy has no power over us. The lie that the enemy has power over us is merely an illusion, like an illusion created by some magician from Las Vegas. Right? Satan only has power over us as long as we think he has power over us. I'm going to say that one again too, Pete. Satan only has power over us as long as we think he has power over us. Finally, the Lord wants you to be free. And I think you agree with me, at least academically in your head, you can agree with that. Okay, well, that makes sense. The Lord wants me to be free. What we'll try to do over the next months is, you know, go 18 inches down here so that you can truly appropriate that. The Lord wants you to be free. Now, if you are sitting there in some bondage from which you wish to be released, but you'll have little hope of achieving that victory, remember one of the things that I said before. It takes determination. One of the reasons we stay where we are when it comes to being in bondage is because we're not determined and because we know what we're in, but we don't know what we'll be getting into. We stay where we are because at least we're familiar with the pit that we're in. So when the going gets tough, we can fall back into the bottom of the pit and at least resign ourselves to the fact that we're in familiar surroundings. Now, in the time that I have left today, I want to introduce our key verse, actually our key verses, the two, and then I'm going to address the first of our topics. Galatians 5:1. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm, then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. So let's just take the first part of this verse for now. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. It reads like part of a poem, pretty poetic. It is for freedom that Christ set us free. Wait, what? It is for freedom that Christ... Oh, no, I don't know what that means. What does that mean? Well, it means just this. It means that Christ's actions here on earth were to set us free. They were simply for the purpose of setting us free. There was no other ulterior motive. There was no other agenda. The whole point of us, of him coming down to us, was simply to set us free. So, if we allow ourselves to live in bondage in some area in our life, even if it's just some area of our life, then we negate the very reason for which he came. And that really is a shame. This brings us to our first MVO. Quizzical looks, what's MVO? You don't know what MVO is because I just made this acronym up this week. As a former military guy and current bureaucrat, I seem to like acronyms. But it's easier to say MVO than say a memory verse opportunity. And that's what we've just come to our first one. So if you find yourself serious about living in freedom, you're going to find that memorizing Scripture is a necessity. And so here's our first one. Romans 8, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. You see, the deed has already been done to set us free. We only have to claim it. And so for those of you so inclined, learn this verse. Our second verse fits very nicely with our first MVO. See how we're using that acronym so easily now? 2 Corinthians 3:17 says this. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Now, I don't know about you, but I find great peace in this verse. I find myself sighing in relief when I get to the end of it. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. What a hopeful promise. When we received the Lord into our lives, the Holy Spirit was placed on deposit in us. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Yes. So this is your second MVO. Romans 8, 1, 2, and 2 Corinthians 3:17 are verses that I want you to consider memorizing. Now, before we conclude today, I want to go back to a point that I had made earlier. You can be free. It's important that we all get to the point where we believe this. Because if you don't believe this, then there really is no hope for you. The fact that you can be free is a foundational truth. You will see that many of the steps toward freedom involves one thing. Truth. Simply truth. Knowing what is true and embracing that which is true. Now, for many of us, we know the truth, but we don't live in freedom because we don't appropriate the truth in our lives. We believe that the truth is true for the other guy, but maybe not so much for us. And of course, when we believe this, we believe a lie. So knowing that you can be set free is a foundational truth. It is fundamental to everything else. If you can appropriate this truth for yourself, then you can start moving toward a place of freedom. Conversely, if you cannot believe this truth for yourself, then nothing else will matter. Katrina and I and the others will just be a bunch of talking heads. Okay. You might as well go to the coffee quarter on Sunday mornings. Except the coffee quarter is closed on Sundays? Nope, coffee quarter. It's the only place to go. This message of living in freedom and victory starts with believing the truth of hope. Now, some of you may be crushed into hopelessness because of the weight of your own habitual sin or because of what has been done to you, circumstances that are outside of your control. You may be thinking, I am such a mess that there is no way out of this. Or my circumstances are so disastrous that there's no way out of this. I want you to consider these prophetic words. They're concerning Jesus. They're from the Old Testament. They're from Isaiah concerning Jesus, but speaking about people like us. Isaiah 61, starting in verse 1. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called, this is talking about us now, they will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of His splendor. This is a message of what Jesus wants to do for you. This is what's in store for you, to live free and to fulfill a great destiny to which He has called you. Great destiny, you may be snickering. Me? I am such a mess. God has a great destiny planned for me? Yeah, right. Okay. Well, let's check out Jeremiah 29. Verse 11, it says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." This is a future MVO, PBTW. I'm ready to text message now. Remember this. God has historically teamed up with those who were the least in the eyes of the world. God works with the unlikely. He works with the improbable. He works with the impossible. God loves working with the underdog, the smallest, the weakest, the downtrodden, the shunned, the outcast. In other words, people just like you and me, right? He loves working with those who have made a mess of their lives, those who have put the fun in dysfunctional, those who have been abused either by their own hand or by the hand of others. He loves working with people who have the biggest problems. You want some examples? No pointing, please. No pointing at church. You want some examples? Okay. How about Rahab the prostitute? How about Jacob the swindler? Or how about David the overlooked little boy? And then again, David the adulterer and murderer. How about Job? How about Jonah? How about Peter? And the list goes on. We could keep reading. Everyone, God uses the improbable, if not the impossible. So for those of you who live in bondage, who live in a dysfunctional place, you have problems, even if it's only in a specific area, guess what? God has a job opportunity for you. He wants you. Just like a collector wants an old, decrepit antique. Because the collector knows that he can take the antique, completely strip it down, rebuild it, and show the beauty that was always there. The beauty that was always waiting to come out. You ever wonder why Jesus was a carpenter? Because that's what his Father is. He takes the potential that he sees in a pile of raw materials, and then he transforms it into something beautiful. So here we are. Bunch of piles of raw material. And the Lord is just looking. He wants to transform us. He's itching for the chance to transform us. So, question. Are you going to let Him? I mean, look, if your life is such the mess that you think it is, then you ain't got nothing else to lose, right? As I conclude, I want you to remember a few points. First, you can be free of whatever it is that keeps you in bondage. Second, you have not only the right, but you have the responsibility to be free of whatever keeps you in bondage. And second and third, as a child of God, you have every spiritual weapon at your disposal in order to break free. Please stand. You may believe that you have no right to be free. You may believe that you are just getting what you deserve. This is a lie. If you are in Christ, if you have received the gift of deliverance, then you have every right in the world to be free. And you have every right in the heavens, for that matter, to be free. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter what has been done to you. You have every right to be free. In Scripture, Matthew 12:20 says this: "A bruised reed he will not break, a smoldering wick he will not snuff out." This is the mode of Jesus' ministry toward us. Now, I'm going to ask each of you, if you would, please, to lower your heads, and I want you to close your eyes. Just for a second, because I want everyone to feel free to respond. I'm going to make a very pointed appeal, so I'm going to ask that you all listen very carefully. If you do not feel as if there is any hope to be free of your bondage, if you feel as though you are past the point of no return, or if you feel that the Lord could never want you after some of the things that you have done or some of the things that may have been done to you, remember, every eye's closed, please. I want you to quietly slip your hand up so that I can see it. Basically, if you're someone with little or no hope, I want you to raise your hand. No one is looking now. I got one, I'm not sure. Okay, I want you to... You can open your eyes and raise your head. And open your eyes and raise your heads. Or you can keep your heads down if you want. It's up to you. Close your heads and open them. I want you to know that except for one, I'm not so sure, we all passed the first part. We all have some hope that the Lord is able and wants to deliver us from this freedom, which is good because now we can move on to the next step. For the rest, I'm going to ask, by the way, prophetic ministers, do we have anything? Anything? No? Okay. I'm going to make an appeal to two groups of people. First of all, if there is some area of bondage in your life that you want to start coming and getting prayed with before one of our ministers, I'm going to invite you to come forward to just start praying with somebody. Now, you may be, but you may not be, instantly freed from that bondage this morning. But if you want to start the process, there's somebody, something particular in your heart, you're looking to pray with someone, then we're going to have ministers available. In fact, could some of my ministers please come forward now? Thank you. The second is, who here is in pain and is looking for some healing? Karen? Anyone else? Come on up, Maria. Anyone else? If I can't see because of the lights, and boy, not too many. Well, you know what it is? Over the past month, we've been doing a lot of healing. The Lord has been very gracious to us in all the healing. And so now, we don't have anybody to heal. Okay, we're going to have to go out and heal some people. In the gathering, we had one person who came up for physical healing, and now we got two. This is a real success story. So, are we doing hospitality down after this, or yes? Okay. For the rest of you, if you wish to stay, then feel free to stay. If you wish to go down to the hospitality area down in the sunroom, then feel free to go down and do that. And Don, I can tell, has something else for me. Can I have that mic, Pete? Go ahead, Don. It's a good point.
Just a thought that I couldn't shake, and I was in the gathering this morning, so it was kind of stirring. If some of you just struggle with hopelessness or from time to time, not once in a while. I think we all kind of have that occasionally, but like on a fairly regular basis, you struggle with hopelessness. And you couldn't honestly say, yes, I feel hopeless this morning, because you've been in the presence of the Lord for an hour and you've heard an encouraging word and you feel your hope feels built up. But if you can look in the pattern of your life over the past month and you say, you know, sometimes I've really struggled with hopelessness. I wonder if God's there. I wonder if God cares. I wonder if God's going to show up like I've expected. I felt disappointed a number of occasions. And if you struggle with hopelessness on a fairly regular basis, then come on up and get prayer, because that really is a foundation that Mike's word addressed and that I believe the Holy Spirit wants to address.
Yeah, and sometimes it may be something that, you can believe at least in your head, to be true, but you can't make the connection down into your heart. So the altar's open for you. And for the rest of you, if you have no business here, if you don't need to come forward and you want to go down to the sunroom, then feel free to do that. You're dismissed.